God loves America. God loves China. God loves Iraq. God loves Afghanistan. God loves Britain, France, Spain. God loves Mexico, Canada. God loves Brazil. God loves all nations. Now, God does not love the evil that some nations do, but God loves nations because God loves people. God loves people. And this morning, I want us to open up our Bibles to the book of Jonah. The book of Jonah, chapter 3. And I want us to see this morning the shocking nature of God's grace. His astonishing grace, if you will. God loves all of these nations. And this morning, we're going to see that God loves nations, and God loves people, and God's love is not based on nationality or color or gender, what language you speak, but God's love is based on His grace. And this morning, Jonah chapter 3 is going to show us how God's love extends over all borders. There are no borders in God's grace. Can God's grace reach the unreachable? Can God's grace reach those who hate Him? Can God's grace reach a terrorist? Can God's grace reach the wicked and the evil? The book of Jonah says yes. Have your Bible, or there's a pew Bible in front of you. Then the word of the Lord came to Jonah the second time, saying, "Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and call out against it the message that I tell you." So Jonah arose and went to Nineveh, according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceedingly great city, 3 days' journey in the breadth. Jonah began to go into the city, going a day's journey, and he called out, "Yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown." And the people of Nineveh believed God. They called for a fast, and they put on sackcloth, from the greatest of them to the least of them. The word reached the king of Nineveh, and he arose from his throne, removed his robe, covered himself with sackcloth, and sat in ashes. And he issued a proclamation and published through Nineveh. "By the decree of the king and his nobles, let neither man nor beast, herd nor flock taste anything. Let them not feed or drink water, but let man and beast be covered with sackcloth. And let them call out mightily to God. Let everyone turn from his evil way and from the violence that is in his hands. Who knows? God may turn and relent and turn from his fierce anger so that we may not perish." When God saw what they did, how they turned from their evil way, God relented of the disaster that he had said he would do to them, and he did not do it. Father, may your word speak to us this morning. May we see through your word your astounding, amazing, unbelievable grace. And may we see and understand, and may it connect to our hearts that your grace is available for all people. That you desire that all would be saved and that none would perish. And may this gospel, this good news, may it go forth from our hearts and our minds and our lips as we leave here today. In Jesus' name, amen. As we launch into the book of Jonah, we find ourselves with a grumbling prophet. Jonah is really not a type of prophet that we would expect if you were just reading the prophets or the books of the Bible for the first time. God calls Jonah. He says, Jonah, I want you to go to Nineveh. And I want you to call out to it because its evil has come up before me. Now, most prophets that you know in the Bible, they'd get up and they'd go, they'd follow God. They may not always like it, but they do it, right? Because that's what prophets do. But Jonah's a little different. Jonah's not so happy about this. And we're going to find out later, it's because he knows that God will have mercy on Nineveh if they will repent. And so Jonah says, you know what, I don't want any part of this. And he says, I'm going to go the other direction. God, you want me to go to Nineveh? I'm going over here. I'm not going to do this. And so that's exactly what Jonah does. He runs in the opposite direction. But God's purposes are never thwarted, are they? And Jonah is running, and he's on a boat with some folks. Unbeknownst to them at the time that here was this runaway prophet. And they are sailing along, and next thing you know, a great tempest comes across the sea. It's terrible. It's terrifying. They're all afraid. It's not good, right? They're going to die. And eventually they find out that the culprit to all this is Jonah. And Jonah's, look, you got to throw me in the sea. And even these sailors, right, even these sailors, they didn't want to do that. Because they thought, this man's blood's going to be on our hands if we throw him in here. But finally they relented and they threw Jonah into the sea and the storm stopped. And we see Jonah is sinking down to the bottom of the sea, wrapped in seaweed. Sure, death is there, and yet God is a God of second chances, isn't he? God is a God of grace. And God's grace, do you know how it came to Jonah at the bottom of the sea with seaweed wrapped around his head? Death imminent. It came through a great fish. This great fish swallowed up Jonah. Surely he would have died. And he swallowed him up. He comes out. He's in the belly of this great fish. Sometimes we think that is judgment, but that was actually God's salvation. Sitting inside the stinking digestive system of a fish. And the fish spits him out onto dry land. Filled with, well, smelling like the fish. Jonah is there and he now has a second chance. Now, perhaps if Jonah had thought, you know what, maybe God will... maybe God will change his mind, right? I learned my lesson, but maybe God will give me a new job, right? Maybe things will be better. If Jonah thought that, then he was sorely disappointed. As soon as Jonah gets to dry land and he is getting there, drying off, cleaning up, God says, okay, now go back. You need to go. Same job, buddy. You got to go. You got to do it. You got to go to Nineveh, that great city, and you need to call out to them. Now, this is one thing you have to see about this whole thing. Nineveh was a great city for the nation of Assyria. Assyria were not the good guys. They were bad. They were evil and wicked and known to do some really terrible things. They were enemies to God's people. In fact, later, years later, they would take over. So the Assyrians were not good. And this was in a time, really before the ascent of Assyria, like we'll see later. But this would have also been a time, in the time of Jonah's day, of great nationalism, pride in their nation. And Jonah here, he likely has that same sort of pride. God, I can't go to Assyria. I can't go to Nineveh. God, we're your people. We're Israel. We can't go there. They're the bad guys. They've done bad things, God. They've done wicked and evil, and this sort of nationalism blinded his heart. Love for country is a good thing. I love America. One of my favorite times through every couple of years is watching the Olympics. You see your nation. In our nation, you hear chants of USA, USA. Right? We hear that, and we're proud of our nation. And some of you here are from other nations, and you're proud of your nation. And that can be a good thing. But when our love for our nation turns into notions of exclusion and superiority, like they're not good enough, God loves us more, we don't need them. When our love for country excludes other people, then our love for country has been distorted and become sinful. And this is exactly what was happening to Jonah. His love for his nation had distorted into something that was not the heart of God. In fact, his love so much for his country went beyond and said, God, you don't know what you're talking about. And so Jonah did not believe, or actually he did believe. He knew that God was going to forgive these people. And he could not stomach it. And this morning, I want us to consider, when we think about Jonah, I want us to think about the grace that God has. And the first thing I want us to see is God's astonishing grace. God's astonishing grace. That word grace you've heard before, and I've said it, and others, plenty of others have said it, is grace is God's unmerited favor. God's favor, receiving something that we do not deserve. You think of salvation, right? We do not deserve it. We don't earn it. We haven't done what we have not followed God, right? We don't deserve grace. Yet God gives it to us. And so grace is God's unmerited favor. And here, when we consider the people of Nineveh, we see not only is grace amazing, and it is, not only is grace great, it is, but grace is shocking. Grace is staggering. Grace is astonishing. When you see who grace came for, Nineveh, these wicked people, this great city. These people that had done evil, these people that had done wicked things, and yet God is, he's warning them of coming judgment so that they will repent. I mean, these were the worst of the worst. These were the enemies. I mean, that's shocking. And I think for us, probably the best way for us to really think through this is to see, even in our nation's history, of what this might look like. In World War II and Pearl Harbor, the Japanese struck Pearl Harbor. And there in that time, our nation was awakened. And a great patriotism and nationalism formed up, which is good. And we go to war. And we defeat Japan and Germany. And there, World War II is over. But I want you to think, in that time period, how hated the Japanese were. They were hated, right? Because these people, they attacked our nation, killing our men and women there in Pearl Harbor. It would be like that, where God's saying, okay, I want you to go to those people. Well, God, I'll go to anybody else. I mean, I'll go over here, but not those people, because they're wicked, they're evil, they're the bad guys. And it is fascinating to see, last week we had a missionary to where? Japan. And God's grace is astonishing. You think about grace. Did Nineveh pursue God's grace? No. Did Nineveh somehow say, you know, God, we want you to come down here and help us? No. Grace pursues us. We do not pursue grace. And there, Nineveh could receive God's grace and forgiveness. So when you think of this grace, you think of what God has done. But then, so now we take this, right? God is going to have grace on these Ninevites, these evil people. And then we sort of fast forward to our day. And then you fast forward to you and I, people that are also sinful. That in our own way, we do our own wickedness, our own evil. We do not follow God as we should. And the reality is, we're saying to God, hey, God, we don't care about you. Hey, God, we're going to do our own thing. God, take a hike. And that's essentially what we do as human beings, right? We say, God, we're going to run our own lives. Mind your own business. And God could very well, and he would be righteous to do it. God could say, okay, if you want to live apart from me, that's fine. You'll live apart from me for all of eternity. Wouldn't that be a right thing for God to do? Certainly it would. And yet, in God's grace, he does not want us to perish. And instead of letting us just die in our sins, die apart from him, God sent his son, Jesus Christ, on a rescue mission. Like a perfect Jonah, right? Jonah was on a rescue mission. He disobeyed God. Jesus was the perfect prophet in that sense. He came, but yet he did more than speak. Jesus gave his life. He took our punishment. He took our place. And the gospel is that if we will believe in Jesus Christ, if we'll put our faith in him, then we can be reconciled to God. That is shocking. God doesn't have to do that. We don't deserve it. We don't seek God on our own. God is pursuing us. His grace is shocking. But then we also see that grace is available. And it's available to all. You see, in this time period, the Israelites, Israel, they were known as God's people. God's chosen people. They were His instruments here on this earth. And it makes sense, right? God, He would reach His people, right? He would speak to His people. But here we see God going outside of this people, and now this grace is available to all people. There is a global nature to this. You don't see that a whole lot in the Old Testament. But I believe this passage is here because it shows us even from the very beginning, God had a heart for the nations. And God's people were supposed to be His perfect messengers to the nations. And yet in their disobedience, instead of reaching the nations, being reached by the nations, God would bring destruction. But here we see God reaching out beyond Israel and extending to the worst of the worst. And then we fast forward into the New Testament. We fast forward into the New Testament, and now we see Jesus Christ come. He dies on the cross. He's buried. He raises again 3 days later, defeating death. He ascends back to heaven. The Holy Spirit comes upon His people, and they begin to go out sharing the gospel. Thousands upon thousands come to faith in Christ. This is good. But then something shocking happens. It's not just Israel that's receiving the gospel. It's the Gentiles. It's the hated people. You mean the Gospels for them too? In fact, this is something that the early church had to work out. They had to figure out what does this mean? But right away, we see the Gospel, the global nature of the Gospel. Jesus telling them to go into all nations. Go into the ends of the earth. That all nations, all tribes, all tongues would be included. In fact, Galatians 3:28 reminds us that in the gospel there is neither Jew nor Greek, neither slave nor free, nor male or female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And we see right there are no human walls that can separate anybody from the gospel. There are no divisions that can block God's grace. It's for all people. The gospel's not just for us in America. It's not just for those with a certain color of skin or a certain language. It's available to all people. And that makes sense. We understand that. But here's where I want to speak pastorally to you. We must always reject anything that brings division among people and blocks the gospel to any people group. We need to reject anything that causes us to hate other people or to not love other people. We need to reject anything that would cause us to have superiority over others, saying, hey, well, we're better than those people. Listen, apart from grace, where would we be? As soon as you think you are better than anybody, you have missed the gospel. And so there we see that all people, we reject any sort of hatred, racism, prejudice, because we know that the gospel is for all. You say, well, Pastor, that would never happen. I remember 12 years ago, or actually no longer than that, it's been about 15 years ago. We were in seminary and we were invited to a ministry at an apartment complex here in Fort Worth, and the ministry was World Relief. World Relief works with, they work with refugees from all over the world that come through our refugee system, that process. People sometimes that wait years and years to get into this system. They've lived in nations where horrific things have happened. They're fleeing violence and horrible things, and many times they wait a lifetime sometimes in refugee camps and tents. And they wait and they wait and they go through this long process, and finally they would be able to come here, and these ministries here, they reach out to people from all nations, sharing Christ, but sharing hope and support. And so we were invited to come to this apartment complex and to minister to these people. And from right away, at the very beginning, I began to see and experience a love for refugees, a people that honestly, until that time, I didn't know much about. And I began to see that these people, they would come and they loved the opportunity, and they would work hard, and they would work so hard to support themselves and to have families and jobs and careers. And we see how good that was. And so then as I fast forward, I would have other opportunities to minister with them. And then I moved to Willis, Texas as a children's pastor. A few years in, I decided, you know what, we're going to do a mission trip with our fifth and sixth grade kids. You know where we did? We came here to Fort Worth in an apartment complex. For a week, we ministered to kids from all over, from Africa, from Iraq, Afghanistan, all sorts of people. And we brought all these kids together. We had these white country kids from Willis playing soccer with a kid from Africa and Afghanistan and Iraq. And listen, there was even some tension even between these groups, because historically some of these groups did not like each other. But even in that, we all came together. And you know what else we did? We shared the gospel. We shared Christ. But then we fast forward a little bit. I mean, this is a wonderful ministry. I mean, everybody here in conservative Willis, Texas, I mean, everybody, this is wonderful, it's good. But then we fast forward and we begin to see the change of political headwinds. And now these people that we were so desperate to reach are now demonized. We don't need to reach them. We need to reach our people around here. And I've seen, and literally have seen it, and I've seen this ministry suffer because of it, how no longer that support is there anymore. Is it because anything changed? No, it's because we've allowed things to come in and bring division. God has not changed his heart. We've changed our hearts. In fact, there was a time that even I just talking with different people about the need for it, I was so shocked to hear some of the things people would say about a ministry like that. Are those people safe? I mean, is it okay that in all these things, and never a question before, and now we've allowed these sort of divisions? That does not honor God. God's heart is for the nations. And I want you to consider for a moment how incredible by God's providence, and I pray that we get back to this. Think about God's providence over the last century plus. God has allowed the nations to come to our nation. Yes, many come for economic prosperity, safety, but think about the providence of this. God has allowed the nations to come here where the gospel can be spread, where people can hear the gospel, they can hear about Jesus. And you know what? That's what's happened for decade upon decade upon decade. So we welcome the nations, because here we see, yes, we still go overseas, but now the nations are right here in our backyard. I mean, right here in our little community, guess what? They're a representative of so many nations. God's allowed the nations to be here, and you know what? We ought to rejoice. And listen, none of this is, listen, you know what? Governments and politicians, they do their thing, but God's people, guess what? We do our thing. And our thing is to reach people. And that's exactly what we see in the book of Jonah. God was reaching, and I believe he was reaching them, and this is to show us that God's grace is for all people. That if anyone would believe, if anyone would put their faith in Jesus Christ, they can be saved. I'm reminded of Romans chapter 10. If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved. It's available to all people. So my question then for us is this. Are we going to live with that heart for all people? Are we going to leave here today and live in such a way that we love and care for all people, that we would desire that none would perish, that we would see every person as created in the image of God with value and worth, and saying, I love you, and I don't want you to be separated from God for eternity? That instead of mocking people with other differences or making fun of them or whatever it may be, we love people. Like, what if we did that? What if we weren't known by our politics or our views or this or that? What if we were simply known as Christians? People that love people. I believe that God could do something astounding. Let us live knowing that God's grace is available and astonishing. Let us pray. Father, I thank you for your word. Your word, Lord, cuts through our hearts, our thoughts and ideas. And Father, I pray that this morning, and I believe that this morning, that you are speaking to us directly. That you are reminding us here at Richland Hills Baptist Church, and anybody that listens or is gathered, that you are reminding us that your good news is for all people. Father, if there are any of us that need to repent and to turn away from wickedness, turn away from prejudice. Father, I pray that this morning that we would turn away, that we would turn back to you. And Father, that our heart, we'd have a global heart for the nations. And Father, we'd have a desire to see all people come to faith in Christ. And so, Father, I pray that you would work in our hearts. Lord, that there would be nothing that we would say or do that would, Lord, that hurt or offend other people. But that our words and our lives would glorify you. Lord, let us have a heart that no people should perish, and Lord, that we should reach the nations. Father, we can reach them here. Remind us of that, but remind us that we also support those who go globally. But Father, remind us of the work that you've called us to. We are not here simply to, Lord, just to enjoy ourselves. But we're here to reach people. Father, would you help us? Lord, give us that heart. And Lord, may you change us where we need to be changed. And may we follow you. In Jesus' name, amen.